B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick, I forgot. It's your scout at the trade deadline. This is February 5th. I think he was all over this. This is after the Celtics, you know, were rumored to be in on Capella. They didn't get Capella. I think Scal wanted Capella. Mike Gorman's there, you know, doing his job as a team broadcaster. They're fine. They don't need anything. Love the team as it is. And I think Scal maybe foretold, you know, what we're seeing right here. Go ahead, Jimmy. Give us
no moves.
Yep.
The Celtics do nothing.
Nothing.
Same roster.
Same roster.
Everybody's coming back. No trades. No fireworks.
Couldn't be happy.
Exactly. Couldn't tell me about happy. It. Why?
Well, why mess up a good thing? They got a good thing going right now. They're playing better basketball in the last 2 or 3 weeks than they've played in a long time. People are starting to get healthy again. They've still only had, 10, 11 games where they've had everybody together. Why mess this up? I mean, these guys have shown that they can play. I think they're an Eastern Conference final team.
Mm. You agree, Scott?
If Robert Williams gets healthy, then yes, we can have this conversation. But I'm disappointed they didn't get a rim runner. But I got confirmation today that they do expect Robert Williams to come back. They do expect him to be as near to 100%, and they do not expect this hip issue to linger on. This is the one area of concern I have with this team. Having a rim running big just adds another tool to the belt, and now you can run offense just a little bit differently when you have certain type of defensive centers on the floor.
So who was the rim running big that was out there that
Capella,
they didn't get?
Capella.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I remember him. He was bummed that they didn't get Clint Capella.
But Scal nailed it.
Yeah.
Said, it's Robert Williams. This is February 5th, okay? So this is when you're still not sure that Kemba Walker is Kyrie Irving or exact. You know, this is right when Tatum started to go on that big run. This is right after the All-Star game. Do I have that right? No, right before. When was it? The All-Star weekend's usually
that second week of February.
Yeah, it was mid-February.
So this was the end of it. This was before Tatum went off. This is before, you know, any of this. He looked at the whole team and the whole landscape and said Robert Williams is the key to the whole team. And that's how he felt back in February. And now Robert Williams is playing the way that he's playing. Interesting. So I think Scal nailed something there.
I mean, the potential in this kid is there. There's no question about it. I just, when I see big guys who don't fight for rebounds, I lose my mind.
Well, you're
lose my mind.
Your feelings on the Lord are well established, which led to the blanami of emails that I got. The tweets that you got must have just put that to shame. So why don't we go back forth and read us some of what we got, Maz? You want to go first?
No, you go first. I asked Jimmy to play a little music.
Subject line, Time Lord Olajuwon. Felger, just admit that you and Crowbar Maz know almost nothing about basketball, and your Celtics take both highly suck and big time blow.
Yeah.
When G. Willikers Bradbot gives Robert Williams meaningful minutes on the court, the Time Lord looks more and more like a young, early in his career Olajuwon.
Come on.
Just because that diabolical prick Mason Souza told everyone long ago that Robert Williams was going to be, that is no reason to deny that the Time Lord Olajuwon is the biggest factor in this series. And he will emerge for all to witness. Bobby Eurasian Whalen.
Pretty good.
Next.
Oh, you want me to go? I just want to tell you, I tweeted out last night. In the first quarter, Robert Williams is on pace for 40. # wrong again. Okay. And I got a flurry of responses like this one from Brian. Yeah, Maz, you're wrong about everything. Why do you even open your yappa? And I would say, I do it, Brian, to piss you off. Okay? Then from... can I give you another one?
Yep.
Let me give you a couple here. This one from some scummer. That's what happens when you think anyone that isn't an instant Hall of Famer sucks. The way you gauge young players is so childish. So what if it is?
It's actually true. If they're not a top three player, they suck. That's how you analyze basketball players.
Oh, sorry, go.
Subject Lord Time Lord from Tyler. Time Lord says, suck it, Maz. Sent from my iPhone. Subject line, Time Lord is this generation's Will Chamberlain. End of message, says Kyle. Subject line, suck it, Maz. Just wanted to say Kemba Walker has more playoff wins in a Celtic uniform than Kyrie, so suck it, signed Nathaniel.
That is true.
From CG, again on Twitter. Yeah, you should do a bad Maz take review segment. Thanks for the idea, CG. It's under consideration. We're working on that one. In the Woo says, yeah, show some respect tomorrow for Williams, please. For him, sure. For you, no shot.
Go ahead. Ryan just sent us the box score. Simple as that. Oh, highlighted Robert Williams for you. Dylan writes in, Felger, you piece of crap. If you had stopped facilitating and had a backbone, you would have told that idiot bald boy Maz to take the huge over on future Hall of Famer Rob Williams. Screw you, Felger. Love, your mama, or Dylan. Maz says the next emailer, your takes are as useless as boobs on a bull. He used the other word. Next.
Okay, Alfred Finkelstein on Twitter. Yeah, Maz, you crapped on him all day, Maz. That's right, Alfred, I did, and I'll do it again. Graham Walsh. Yeah, Tony, you suck always. So do you, Graham. You suck too, pal. Fitz Von Erich. Yeah, there's a Blanami foreman. That one I liked. I have to admit, I chuckled at that one. Travis. Yeah, how'd that bet work out for you, Maz? I lost. Jackass. Obviously, I lost. Like, what'd you think was going to happen? Of course, I'm never going to get that one shoved down my throat. Gatch says, yeah, you suck. You blow. And I would say, Gatch, you smell. How do you like that? Kenneth. Yeah, Maz, suck it. Kenneth, eat me. Ted says, suck a fart.
Is that really what he wrote?
Yeah, he did.
Suck a fart?
Suck, period, a, period, fart, period. I did. I chuckled out loud when I read that one.
That's a new one for me.
That's pretty fun. And the last one I got was from Soul Man, who said, yeah, F off, Tony. And I would say, yeah, I deserve it. It's fine. No problem. But some good ones there. You know, they took their shots, as I fully expected.
You had to know it was coming.
Oh, God, of course.
Here's actually one that's on your side of the street. Subject line, fraud win. I'm calling fraud on this win over the Raptors, says the emailer. They were trailing in the fourth by 12. Kemba sucked, and Tatum had the quietest 30 points in the playoffs. If it wasn't for Marcus Smart's fluke three-point shooting, the Raptors choking, then the Celtics would have lost. This team has yet to be challenged in the playoffs by a team that hasn't crapped out, and they haven't proven anything. Fraud wins, says Bill on the North Shore. That's...
Oh, I don't think that's fluky at all last night.
Had to have been a plant from you, Maz.
Well, so look, the Smart shooting is a little fluky. I'll tell you what I liked about it, not just the fact that they went in. More than once, I want to go back and look at the whole sequence. Tatum was the one giving up the ball.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, Tatum gave it up there.
Okay, he was giving it up. And so what it is they recognize he's feeling it.
Right,
so what
did trusting him.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good sign. Because as good as Tatum is, it's easier to let your ego get in the way there. And no, I'm the man. We need hoops. I'm the one who's going to get him. I thought Tatum did a good job passing the ball last night. And I'm starting to see elements in his game of making other guys better, which is...
Well, just him being deferential at all.
Absolutely. Like, that's the whole point, though, is that as good as you are, you're going to start getting double teams. You're going to start getting things like that. And there's going to be someone open. Give him the ball. Give him the ball. Now, end of the game, 1 point down, 4 seconds left. Tatum's going to get it because he'll have the best matchup. But during the flow of play, to me, that was one of the best signs of the whole thing. Tatum kept feeding him. Like, that's a good sign.
A few more quick calls here on the Celts. Dean and Shrewsbury, go.
Finally, NBA playoff basketball. When you guys said that Tony Brothers was going to be the ref last night, I was worried. But I've been watching these games, and they've been calling ticky-tacky fouls all through the playoffs, all teams, and I think they finally did a good job last night of letting it go.
Ish. I mean, Smart still drew a few fake fouls. Lowry still drew a few fake fouls. The technical on Tatum, you know, I'd say to Tatum, stop barking about every call. Dude, you're not LeBron yet.
He deserved it.
I've said that since he came into the league.
So it's annoying, but, I mean, that's a technical with whatever that was. Four minutes left in a playoff game?
Yeah,
really?
I say he deserved it because shut your yapper. Shut your yapper. Who the hell do you think you are? You are bitching so much about every call that eventually they get to the stage where they were tired of it.
Did he tell the ref to go F himself, or did he just put his hands up in the air?
I'm just telling you, if I were a referee, I'd say to you, shut up. I'm tired of it. T. Done.
Well, so, I mean, I guess I'm on both sides of that one, as usual. Here's Milton in Providence. Go ahead, Milton, for Maz.
Hey, Maz, I think your troll level is at 1,000. I love it. But in all seriousness, I think you should be banned from talking Celtics basketball. All right? The whole Robert Williams thing, like, I'm not a huge – I mean, I like Robert Williams. I'm not huge on Robert Williams. But, I mean, the kid is like 21. He came in last night. And he played 18 minutes, and he was very serviceable. I mean, that's like, what more do you want from him?
He's beyond serviceable. He carried, he carried you in the first quarter, Milton.
Absolutely. And Mike, my point in all this is I think Brad is sort of coaching his butt off here. A couple games back when he took Tice out, you know, what did he play, like 20 seconds, and then he inserted Robert Williams. He saw something early last night where the Raptors were coming out. They were going to punch us in the mouth, and he took Tice out, and he put Robert Williams in, and it changed that. I think it was like the end of the first or the second quarter. So I don't know, Maz. You need to just join the bandwagon. You know, let's go. Let's go.
Let it go, Maz. Just let go of your take and just base your judgment on what your eyes are showing you.
Oh yeah, no. Let me jump on the bandwagon because that's always such a good place to be.
Yeah, conform and assimilate.
All aboard, Murray.
That's right.
Look, Williams again. The ability's there. The ability's there. I'll tell you this though. End of the game, defensive rebound, I'll take Tice 10 times out of 10 over Robert Williams because I know Tice will fight for the ball. And so, you know, to me, in those big spots, I'll take Tice over Williams every single time. So and I understand the kid's young. I'm just telling you, I have no tolerance for laziness. None. Zero. And there are times out there where watch him run. A guy with that ability at that age, shouldn't he be sprinting up and down the court and beating everyone down the floor?
Yes, he lacks a gear or he lacks a little something. I see it.
It drives me bananas. And, you know, Brown, now some of it might be lack of confidence. He's not sure of himself yet, so he's got to see where it fits. I get that. But when you're on the floor fighting for a rebound, go get the freaking ball, pal.
Stephen Quincy, quick.
Hey, guys. So where I get off the train is when we start comparing Rob Williams to Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right.
That's where I get off. I'm not riding that train with everybody else. So the thing that I've heard you guys talking about is sort of the comparison between, well, are the Celtics that good or are the Raptors flawed? I think it's both. I think the Celtics are that good. I think, you know, the development of Tatum into a number one option has been great to see. And Brown's a reliable three-point shooter and reliable scorer right now. But if you watch that game down the stretch last night, the reason why Toronto got put over the top is because they had a number one option in Leonard they could go to
right. In
crunch time. Last night, who could they go to?
And this is what the Raptors lack. They don't have the guy. And I'll tell you what, the rest of the East is the same way because Giannis is not the end of the game guy. He's not. Unless it's on the break or you give him a seam and he's got to sort of create his own shot mid. I mean, he'll take a 30-footer, you leave him alone out there. He'll puck it from three. He's not a good three-point shooter. But he's not going to create his own offense on his own. And then, I'm sorry, Chris Middleton is the most overrated all-star in the NBA. And the Bucks don't even really have it. You've got a couple of guys like that. I'll have Kemba Walker take the final. I'll drop the final shot for Kemba Walker any day of the week. Of course I'll drop the final shot for Tatum. And Brown's becoming one of those guys that you don't really hate him taking the final shot. Now that you draw it up. But if he were left open, he takes it and you feel good about it. I'm sorry. Like, Toronto does not have that. Miami doesn't have it. Jimmy Butler's not that guy. Your problem is, Maz, if the guy isn't LeBron or Michael Jordan, he kind of sucks. Like, the fact that you don't like Jimmy Butler, you should all like Jimmy Butler as a number two or a number three. Like,
right.
The second or third best guy. Talk about a guy who competes his ass off. I mean, tremendous toughness and work ethic and hustle. Are you great? He's just not, he's not a refined offensive player, so he's not a number one, but you still wouldn't want him on your team?
No, I would take Butler on the team.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I would absolutely take Butler. And I think he's a guy who can score at the end of the game. I don't know if he's a great shooter, but he can get to the rim, and he's tough. You know, I mean, he's sorted to me almost like a better Smart. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? That's sort of how I look at Butler. And so I just think, I don't know, the Miami series would be a good series on a lot of levels. I think there are some similarities there with the Celtics and Miami. Milwaukee's got more talent. They got the best player, maybe the best player in the league, or one of the top three anyway. I just think it'll get more interesting in the next round.
Okay.
Toronto doesn't have the talent the Celtics do.
Okay, we will continue with the Celtics throughout the course of the day. We'll circle back to it and reset our thoughts later in the program. I do want to give you a little Bruins update. Bruce Cassidy had some things to say about some exiting players. Sort of called some players out. We'll get to that. And I just got my copy of Jeff Benedict's book, The Dynasty. Just started picking my way through the index and trying to find things that are of interest to me. So I'll give you a little mini book report on that coming up as well. So don't go anywhere.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
And at the head of the line is Zdeno Chara, the captain, as he always is. 14 years, 43 years of age, 14 years of Bruin. Said in April he had no retirement plans, but his contract with Boston is up, so we'll see. It is likely the last time we're going to see him in a Bruin uniform. I hope you don't mind I shift gears from hockey. The humanity that this guy has over his span of time in Boston, he's reached out to oppressed groups. He's made donations of time and food and clothing, as a lot of guys do. But if he were coming to your home for dinner tomorrow night, he'd want to talk about you and your family and not himself. He's a good soul, and you always see other people greet him for that reason. And a gallant player who did win a championship for Boston in his time. Perhaps you two have thoughts you want to share as well as he departs.
It'd be a real shame if it is his last game as a Bruin, Doc. And for all the things that you mentioned, he is just an absolutely fabulous human being.
So that's what it sounded like at the end of the handshake line there the other night. As the Bruins lose to the Lightning. Zdeno Chara, not just his last game, but his last game in a Bruins uniform. And it never really occurred to me at the time, but the implication there, and it, you know, they said it a couple times, it was sort of definitive, that, I don't know, maybe it turns out that Doc and the NBC crew are getting it from the team that this is his last year with us. But there's a chance he keeps playing. I never considered the thought that he would go somewhere else like that. I don't know. I think he's liked it here. He's settled here. He's kids in school here, like the whole thing. I find it. And he's got his cup. So it's not like he's Bork and has to go somewhere to win it. You know, just get that one chance at that was last chance to get it. He's got it. He's got his name on the cup. And so he would really go somewhere else for like 1 year.
I'd be surprised by that too.
And right? Who'd have him?
In fact, I would go so far as to say, I hope he doesn't play for someone else. Like, I don't want to see it end that way. And for lots of reasons. And so the only thing because again, when Emmerich says it at the beginning, likely his last game is a Bruin. I went, like, I felt exactly what you said. That's coming from the team side.
Yeah. Like, so I wonder how much sentimentality is going to play into it. Because as they were going on about Char, like, I get it. It's someone that you should root for. And, you know, anyone who knows him loves him. I'm sure the team feels the same way. The media feels the same way. Like the Globe, the Herald, they're all writing, bring back Chara. They should bring back Chara. I'm like, you know, use your head, not your heart. And it really should be time. See, I think he would make sense on another team if he's not the captain. And so he goes, if it's just a ring run, and he just goes like, you know, I'm going to go to Vegas and be their sixth defenseman and just kill penalties and be on the ice at the end to kill off a 6-on-5 where I'm going to play 14 minutes a night. They don't have to make me the captain. It's not my team. And I just come in and play one specific defensive defenseman role. And I go for one more cup. Like that makes more sense to me, him doing it there than being here. What, you know, you can't, can you have a captain who plays 14 minutes a night?
I don't think so.
Can you have a captain who's your sixth, seventh defenseman who just kills penalty like that doesn't make sense. He's sort of, you can't be that here. I don't think, you know, you should turn the, it'd be awkward. Take the C away from him, but you're still on the team. I don't know.
No, like, he can't do that.
It just doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't work. So like maybe there's a, but I don't know. I can't believe he would want to do it. If he hadn't won a cup, I'd say, yeah, okay. You can be that guy, but he's won his cup. It was a big factor in winning it. So what's left to chase there? I mean, I guess he's such a workout warrior. You got to put that to work somewhere. Like, you don't just want to look good at the beach. He's in such phenomenal shape and works so hard that you might as well keep playing. I mean, I don't know. But I do wonder if the Bruins have ruled him out. And that's what the NBC guys are picking
up.
Yeah,
I wonder about that, too. And look, again, I'm trying to make stuff up so that it's a happy ending. But the only thing I can come up with is maybe they've already talked to Chara, the team, and that he's going to pack it in and quit. But he hasn't told anyone yet. They don't want to blow it up. So they're talking to Emmerich, and what's the possibility? Well, I don't know, but, you know, it probably wouldn't be with us if it happens. And they played it straight and, you know, didn't want to lie to Emmerich, but didn't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Okay, so we're showing on NBC Sports Boston simulcast. Cassie said today he doesn't want to speculate about Chara or Torey Krug. What else did we get out of Cassie today, Murray? What was a good one?
Well, the most important thing that I think that he said is that David Pastrnak and Andre Kasha's, quote, conditioning wasn't where it needed to be, end quote, after they missed training camp.
I love that. I love reading that comment because this is them calling him out, right? And again, Neely did a little of this too, remember, that when these guys weren't able to get on the ice and it didn't go the way we wanted to and the players knew when they had to come back, we didn't have any control over that. We'd have preferred it had been a different way, and I'm paraphrasing a lot there. Yeah. But they were pissed then. So then what do you think's going to happen? And I tell you, I wonder whether there was a connection between that and Pastrnak's injury.
Of course.
And I still wonder whether he was ever 100%.
I hope he wasn't. He doesn't look right out there.
No, he said he had a lower body injury and it impacted his skating. So.
Definitely. Yeah. He wasn't moving the same way.
Doesn't look right. I feel like he gassed out on a few shifts. Like there'd be a headman situation where he'd go chase down the puck in the offensive zone. He couldn't even get there. And I just think...
And that's his own lack of personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. You didn't show up in good shape.
That wouldn't have happened if they didn't have the shutdown in March.
It might have been something else. Does David Pastrnak get it?
Right.
Because they didn't have a shutdown last year, and he wasn't there at the end of the year for you the way he needed to be because he was out screwing around. So there was no pandemic then. How do you excuse the way he played in the playoffs last year? So what do you mean the pandemic was what? I don't agree with that. I think David Pastrnak still has some growing up to do.
Lack of professionalism from that kid.
I just like the fact that Cassidy, and Neely did again too, challenged him publicly, openly, challenged him. No, the conditioning wasn't where it needed to be. So if you're saying it publicly, I got to believe they've said it to him privately.
So Kasha, I didn't notice. You know, I thought Kasha, when he was out there, he just couldn't finish. But I felt he got in there. You know, so I mean, I couldn't tell. I could tell with, but as I've told you, I hate the way Pastrnak skates to begin with because he's just always going ass over tea kettle. But here I thought on top of that, he couldn't keep his skates. And I thought he got gassed on some shifts. I could see it. I could see he didn't have his jump. And you just watch Pastrnak and you watch some other like highly skilled wings. Like he just looks different. When I mean different, I mean worse. Just like Kucherov doesn't look that way. Like those big skilled wings we're talking about. Pastrnak to me is the shakiest on his skates, the shakiest with the puck of any of those guys that I see. He can shoot like crazy, you know, and obviously he's got a great scoring touch. But there's just something wrong about his game. Everything other than the shot, I pretty much don't like.
I mean, I thought from the time, I told you, the with him, the less time the puck spends on his stick, the better. Shoot it and let it go.
Just shoot. Just stand there in the left circle and shoot.
And quick passes, and that's it. Otherwise, forget it.
And show up on time and stop screwing around.
He wasn't moving right, though, from the second he came back. You could see it. There wasn't the same, because he can move. I mean, you know, again, it might be clumsy and a little sloppy or whatever, but he can get there.
Okay. Your thoughts on this? Any follow-up Bruins thoughts? We'll get you on the board. Any follow-up Celtics thoughts? We'll get you on the board. I got a quick book report coming up, and I just started to scratch the surface. But I'm already getting the sense this book is not for me. And I'll tell you why right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's like a lot of Patriots fans, I've been eagerly awaiting this book by Jeff Benedict, who wrote a big tell-all biography on Tiger Woods. on the Patriots. He had embedded exclusive access for, I don't know exactly how long. He was on the Beadle and Zolak program today. You can hear that interview at 985thesportshub.com. But he had exclusive access. He was embedded. He was cozied up to Kraft, got exclusive interviews and access and time with Kraft, Belichick, Brady, all the principals. So looking forward to get some insights into some of the great, you know, untold stories here in New England the last couple of years and some of the things that we've just looking for behind the scenes looking. And, well, I've been really disappointed so far. I mean, I'll just give you a few examples. So, you know, when you get a book like this, there's a lot of things I don't need to read. I don't need to read Robert Kraft's history and how he bought the team and all of that. Like, you know, that's well established.
We all know this.
I want some answers and I want some insight into some things that have not been told. So I immediately go right to the, I go to the index. And after first searching the Fs to see if Felger's mentioned, which he's not. And then I did a quick search to see if Maserati was in the index.
Oh,
it's
no
not.
Shot. No, no, zero, please.
No Felger, no Maserati. So those are always the first things you do. You go to the index and see if your name's in it. Then I go right to the Ds for, obviously.
Deflategate.
So I go to the index, Deflategate. Okay. And again, there's all sorts of subheads. Belichick's press conference is on. No, I don't need that. Brady's appeal of suspension in. No, no, no. Brady's destruction of phone in. Okay, yeah. All right, let's go to the destruction of the phone section because that Brady was obviously lying about that, right? So Brady's 418, 419. So let's go to 418, 419, and then I read. Prior to the hearing, Goodell had learned that Brady's phone had been destroyed after Wells had requested access to it. Goodell found that suspicious. Brady explained that every time his cell phone provider came out with a new model, he received one free of charge. It was a perk of being Tom Brady. And every time he traded in his phone for a new one, he gave instructions to destroy the old phone and the SIM card. It was a way to ensure that no one could grant access to the personal information on it, contact information from any players in the league, family pictures, and so on. On four previous occasions, Brady had followed that safety precaution when upgrading to a new phone. And then it goes on and on and on. But that's a lie. It's not true. He had his previous, back in that time, he had his previous cell phone. He had just destroyed the one Wells asked for. The one before he had. And the one after he had. Also, it just came out that Brady still has an iPhone 6 Plus, which means nothing to me other than you people probably know it's like 6 years old. This was just, and I just looked this up. I asked Murray about this. Wasn't there a thing that he posted recently this offseason that showed he was still using an iPhone 6 Plus, a phone 6.5 years old or something?
Yeah, he roundly got mocked and rightfully so for having such old technology.
So all Benedict did here, Jeff Benedict's the author, all he did was just regurgitate what Brady said and what his agent said at the time.
Took it hook, line, and sinker.
Brady's lawyer pointed out to the commissioner that the destruction of the phone had nothing to do with the investigation. In fact, it had been established that Brady had never texted, emailed, or called McNabb. This was all in the trial. This is all in the transcript. This is all in the reporting. There's nothing new. Based on the strength of Brady's under oath testimony, the players' union and Brady's legal team were confident that his suspension would be tossed out. But Goodell issued a 20-page written. It's just a recap of what happened. There's no insight. Again, I just started to read it, so I haven't read every word of every page in this, but
we'd hear if there was something juicy at this point, you know, because, as you said the other day, the best stuff is usually in the excerpts, and we've already seen them. This book feels like the guy didn't dig deep.
This is all just a recap of what we already, if you want information, if you want insight, you call me or Mike Hurley. We can tell you more than this. He just reprinted the transcript and the reports.
Correct. No, he did no digging there. No digging at all.
All right. So hold on. So then I said, okay, well, let's find out another hint. Sorry. Let's do Butler. Let's go to Malcolm Butler. See what he's
got
on that. So I go to the Bs.
Oh, very good idea. Yeah, that's a good juicy story.
Go to the Bs. Okay. Malcolm Butler, 403, 404. I go back to that. That's on the Seahawks Super Bowl and him jumping the route and making the interception. Okay. I don't need to read about that. 408, 409. That's about the Super Bowl parade and Brady giving him his car. I don't need any of that. All right. Page 485, 486. Okay, there we go. Now we're probably on to something. Let's get to that. Let's get to that nonsense. And then I go to 485, 486. The Patriots' defense was struggling to slow down the Eagles' offense. During halftime, Belichick was asked by NBC sideline reporter Michelle Tafoya why he had not started Malcolm Butler and why Butler hadn't played a single snap in the first half. Quote, I made the decisions that gave us the best chance to win, Belichick told her. In New England's first possession of the second half, Brady drove, da-da-da-da-da, then he gives game details. Then he goes, after the game, Super Bowl 42 had barely ended when Malcolm Butler was asked by a reporter if he had any idea why he hadn't been on the field. They gave up on me, Butler told him. F. It is what it is. devastated, Butler added. I don't know what it was. I guess he's just reprinting what he told the Herald walking out, or Reese or whoever walking out of the locker room.
Absolutely.
So Benedict had exclusive access and insight and embedded access. And he's just reprinting the quotes from Malcolm Butler that he gave postgame to everybody else. It's just a rehash of everything that happened.
Correct. Yeah. So look, again, he doesn't want to dig in there, which tells you, I mean, when you do this kind of book, the only way it's going to happen is if you get approval from who? The owners and the coach. Everyone else has a lesser say. So if he got their approval, my guess is there isn't going to be a hell of a lot in there that really makes them look bad.
And then he just reprints things that were put in press conferences or in tweets. Some of Belichick's former players spoke out on social media. Patriots Hall of Fame corner Ty Law tweeted, "We need to get to the bottom of this Malcolm Butler situation. I'm baffled about this one. We need that man on the field." Former Patriots corner Brandon Browner was more direct, calling out Belichick in a series of tweets. I mean, again, all these public record on, they were tweeted. He's just telling me the tweets. Then he talks about Belichick or Brady calling Butler, and which we all knew. He writes, Belichick had no use for social media, but he was kept apprised of what his players said on that platform from Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. While none of his current players were directly calling him out, it was clear that there was pent-up frustration. Still, he opted not to explain the Butler situation. There's no follow-up. Like, that's it.
All this book is an archive of the last 20 years.
So I'm like, all right, let me try again. All right, then I said, all right, well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's see what he's got on McNally. Let me see if he got something on Jastrzemski and McNally. So I go to the M's. Okay, Manning, Payton, Mariucci, Steve, Martin, Curtis, McDonough, Will, McGinnis, Willie. There's a couple of things here. McManus, Sean McManus on TV. Oh, McNally. Here we go. McNally, comma, Patrick. I said, McNally, Patrick.
Pat McNally? Wasn't he a punter?
Patrick McNally? This is Jim McNally, the Birdman.
Yeah.
Dorito Dink, Jim McNally. Patrick McNally? Who's Patrick McNally? It's like, this must be another character. Let's go to, all right, Patrick McNally 409. I go to Patrick McNally 409.
Now, see, in Patriots history, they've been vaporized. He's an unperson.
Ted Wells and his team had developed a working theory to explain the loss of air pressure in footballs in the AFC Championship game. The theory centered on two Patriots employees, equipment assistant John Jastrzemski and locker room attendant Patrick McNally. Did this guy get the name? Did he not even get the name right?
It was Jim McNally.
It's Jim McNally.
It's Jim McNally.
It's Jim McNally. Unless someone can tell me, and I hope for his sake, Benedict's sake, that his full name is Patrick James McNally.
Right.
But that's the first I'd ever heard of Patrick McNally. So maybe that's his name. I don't know. I Googled it quickly. Unfortunately, Dorito Dink does not have a wiki page. He should.
Considering how that hammerhead came off in the Wells report, I wouldn't put it past him to say, I'm changing my name. They'll never know. I'm going to go from Jim to Pat.
I mean, again, I've got the Wells report handy. I mean, I can just right to the text messages.
There was carry that with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
So it comes up as Bird, too. If he said Bird, I would have known who he's talking about.
So yes.
Pulls it out like a switchblade.
Yeah, the Bird texts John McNally, John Jastrzemski. Hey, dude, Jimmy needs some kicks. Let's make a deal. Come on and help the deflator.
Jimmy.
Okay. Exactly. Jimmy needs a new... It's Jim McNally.
If he had read the Wells report, he'd know that.
Then Birdman texts back, just chill, buddy. I'm just effing with you. I'm not going to ESPN yet. A couple days later, the good one.
By the way, Pat McNally was a punter for the Bengals.
John Jastrzemski texts the Birdman, Jim McNally, the Birdman, Dorito Dink. Tom's acting crazy about the balls. Next day, Birdman texts back, Tom sucks. I'm going to make that next ball a effing balloon. John Jastrzemski texts back. Yeah, talked to him last night. He actually brought you up. Said you must have a lot of stress trying to get them done. Told him he was right, though. I checked some of the balls this morning. The refs effed us. A few of them were at almost 16. So that was to Jim McNally, the Birdman. Did Benedict not... Does he have the name wrong?
I think he got the name wrong.
He got the name wrong.
He got the name wrong.
Was the thing even edited correctly? Come on.
You get all that access and all that. And I don't, I honestly, it sounds like I'm dumping on him. It's just not for me. It's not for me.
It's archival fluff. I could tell just within the last few days, I heard a few of the interviews and I was like, I'm not spending the money. I'll wait till Mike buys it, see if he finds any nuggets that are juicy and I'll go from there. And clearly there's not.
I mean, it's a fan book is what it is. It's a fan book.
And so, like, Kraft gave him all this access, and Kraft cozied up to him, and so I get it. They let you in. You're not going to turn around and burn these folks. I understand. So I'm not, it sounds like I'm dumping on Benedict. I'm not, it's just not a book for me. Because I know all this. We have all this. We've lived all this. Now we need the story behind the story or what they're now saying about it. Any insight on Malcolm Butler? I mean, that's one you actually still care about. I still have the Deflategate thing ringing in my ears. You don't. But the Malcolm Butler, at least some insight there, something.
No, it's just a coaching decision, you see. That's all.
I'll tell you what, again, given the access he was granted and whom he was granted it by, I now think there's more to the Butler story than I thought before. I think there's something there that they didn't want him to write, and he agreed not to write it.
So, again, the team, the Wells Report and Context, Brady and the Patriots said when Jastrzemski said to Birdman, talk to him last night, he actually brought you up, said you had a lot of stress trying to get them done. They tried to claim that was about reselling tickets.
Correct.
Yeah.
don't forget deflating was about losing weight.
Right. Laughable.
When you go back and read the stuff, it's comical.
Guys, Patriots, you know, the Crafts, guys, come up with something better. Like you've got to the Goldberg thing, the Wells Report in Context was a laughing stock. You need to come up with something better. Here was your chance. You could have fed this guy all sorts of stuff. But you know why? Again, I'll just say it for the fifth time. There's nothing to retell. Wells had it right. There's nothing. There is no story left to tell. The story was told. It's the Wells report. He got it right. He nailed it. And that's this is why you've let it go, because it's a bitter one to swallow. But when is all these inside books, all these tell-all books, all this inside access? And there's, come on. So it is what it is.
I want you to read that tweet again, or that text message again where he says,
"Oh, they're so good, John."
No. He was right though. Ref screwed us. Balls were at 16.
Oh yeah.
He even puts a number on it, for crying out loud. What was that? The price of the tickets?
So that was
$16.
That was on October 17th. Yeah, later on the 17th, he does it again. This time it's to Panda, and I forget who Panda was. Maybe Panda was Jim McNally, too. Anyway, Tom was right. I just measured some of the balls. They were supposed to be 13 pounds. They were like 16, felt like bricks.
How do you explain that away? And they still tried.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Panda's his fiance. So he was even, this was John Jastrzemski to his fiance. Like, this is the good stuff. That I know what Belichick said at halftime to Tafoya, and I know what Butler said leaving the locker room. I got all that.
16, those are tough to catch.
Go back to this. This is where the meat on the bone is.
16 pounds.
Okay, long commercial.
Air pressure, that's a lot.
Long commercial free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa, Bill Belichick?
Really?
You're right, I should get a delicious footlong from Subway, that would be better.
Yeah, now you look better too.
Thank you.
Good food that's good for you, but good for you. Now get a free footlong when you buy two, because it's footlong season.
There's your Bill Belichick commercial. That plane finally landed. Let's zip through some calls. I forgot to mention, Paul Perillo's going to make his debut coming up next.
Oh, that's right.
Do we have Pip for the full hour?
We do. He's on a Zoom right now.
Awesome. So let me just jam in a few calls here real quick.
Lightning round.
And then real quick lightning round, and then we go to Paul Perillo. Bobby and Tewksbury on the Bees. Go.
Hey, Mike, Tony, and Jimmy.
Go, Bobby, go.
What do you think about trading Pastrnak? The kid's soft. He's got no sack. And I think, is it worth it trading him?
Okay, I think he's soft and he has no sack and he has to grow up, but I'm sticking with him.
Yeah, I'm not trading him either.
But he's not absolved of criticism, and I still think he deserves to get called out and to be challenged, but I'm not giving up on him. I'm not giving up on him. Especially, let's stick with one of these guys after bailing on Thornton, Kessel, Sagan. Like, let's keep one of them and see if one of them pans out.
Yeah, look, and again, you're going to have to tolerate a certain amount of the flaws, right? Those kinds of players come with flaws. So you got to, you know, you got to take some of that.
Tyler and Merrimack, go, please.
Yeah, so the Toronto, they gave their best effort last night, and, you know, they still came up short. So do you guys think that Toronto's done in the series?
It's over. Done. Over. That was it. That was their shot.
What I thought was really telling is at the end of that game, Nick Nurse, who's supposedly one of the best coaches in the league, and has proven he has been, but he has a meltdown, doesn't use that final timeout they have. And then Siakam steps out of bounds.
Also, that's after they win that replay, right?
Yeah.
They get a reprieve.
Brutal.
Smart makes a great defensive play, almost saves it. They get the replay decision. Then they inbound and he steps on the out of bounds line. So, yeah, I think that was it for Toronto. That was their one shot. Here's Kyle and Lynn. Go ahead, Kyle, on the Bs.
Yeah, so this Bruins team, they're just a bunch of choke artists. I'm tired of living up to the glory of 2011. Like, they choked in 2010, 2012, 13, all the way through last year, now this year. You got to break up this core. It's not winning. It's done. 2011 was 10 years ago, and you only won because you were the best goalie on the planet. So it's time to put that to bed, that, and this team should be remembered as a bunch of choke artists.
Okay, well, either a choke artist or not as good as you were told. It's one or the other. You have to pick one.
Okay, it's more B. Like, what are we going to do now? Take away the title?
Yeah, No.
Just recognize it's the anomaly.
And I agree, but it's more B, meaning Bergeron was never the best player in the league. Chara was never the best defender in the league. Rask was never the best goalie in the league. Claude and or Bruce Cassie's not the best coach in the league. Because if they were, they should have won. If they are, then you are epic chokers. But I don't think that's it. I think you've had some choky moments, but for the most part, all those people I just mentioned are very good, not great. And that's just where you are. And the only greatness you really had was one goalie getting hot for 2 months. And that's it. That was the one transcendent, great performance you got, and it got you a cup. The rest? Good, not great. Here's Ed in North Providence on the Bs. Go ahead, Ed.
Mike, I respect you. You know hockey. But one thing that I will suggest is you've been talking out of two sides of your face at this point. About the physicality that the Bruins need. You say that they, and I agree, Richie is a stiff, but you see what Tampa Bay does. They have the mix. You see what Vegas has. They have the mix. You need physicality and the forwards. We don't have any. When we don't have that, our skilled players aren't going to get the puck in the playoffs the way they normally do in the regular season, and we're not going to score.
Okay, you're right, Ed. You know, you're right. It is a balance of the two. Just adding Nick Ritchie's not going to get it done.
No, he's not. To me, what they need is a big guy who can play a little, too. Like, that would help.
It's not just a guy. It's got to be baked in a little bit. And Tampa had to trade for it. They didn't have it either. You know, they had to add Pat Maroon and then trade and pay dearly for Goodrow and Coleman. But they got it. So, but it wasn't just one. It's not like they just added Pat Maroon and said, okay, now here we are. They had to sort of change the whole mindset and add a whole line, really, of those kind of guys.
Yeah, and I would tell you that the Bruins don't have it on either end. Like, that's the part that worries me, is you'd say, okay, fine, your forwards are on the smaller side, so you're going to have a tough time scoring goals in some of these games. But meanwhile, on the other end, they were dominating the front of the net on that end, too, Tampa was. No good.
One more. James in Dorchester on the Celts. Go.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to touch on something where you guys haven't mentioned why Toronto's struggling with Boston so much. It's because of what Ainge did with this roster and what he envisioned, I think, when he started drafting guys like Tatum and Brown. It's positionless basketball. So if you watch the NBA, it's constant pick and roll so they can get the right matchup. But with the Celtics, you can't do that because they literally have four guys on the court who can guard every single position. So, and I think Milwaukee is going to have to deal with that, and Miami is going to have to deal with that. It's not just – now Toronto's dealing with it more because their guards are so small, but it's a problem for every team left that the Celtics are going to face.
I think you're right. Now, Kemba Walker is not one of those guys, but the other four – can switch on to anybody.
Yeah, so look, that part of it is right. But again, I also think it overlooks the fact that, you know, they were positionless basketball last year. And they had trouble with Milwaukee. Now, I understand they had internal fractures. But I would also tell you they had a size problem with Milwaukee. So, you know, there are teams that are going to be hard matchups for them, too. Like, let's not get too far on the whole positionless basketball thing. If it were that easy, everyone would do it.
Okay, Jeff Benedict and the Dynasty Book isn't giving us any answers. So let's go straight to a member of the Patriots organization. Demand some answers. We'll go right to a high-ranking member of the New England Patriots right after these words. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.